Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Three, two, one. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Friday edition. Want to thank our most recent guest to find one right here in the Shaw Studios, James Santel. Don't forget to tune in to Morning Cannolis, 9 to 11 a.m. all across the Civic Media Radio Network. And we are joined right now live via Zoom by the Milwaukee County Corporate Counsel, friend of ours. She is Maggie Dawn, attorney at law. Maggie, welcome back to the greatest radio show ever.
Hey, Maggie.
Hey, guys, how's it going on this beautiful
awesome.
Friday afternoon?
Happy Friday to you, Maggie. Thanks for joining us.
Feels like a party day when we see you, sister.
Hey, it is Friday, so let's do it. There's just been a little bit of news this week, right? Like, just a smidge.
Just a smidge. Let's talk about the end of the threatening of mayors with jailing. Apparently, Robin Voss has ended, but the subpoenas, the arrest warrants, what were they exactly? The lawsuits leveled by the Office of Corrupted Special Counsel, former Office of Corrupted Special Counsel, Michael Gableman. Maggie, do you have any opinion on Robin Voss's actions today?
The level of just the lack of any sort of moral clarity or legal clarity is just stunning. Gableman is an embarrassment to the legal profession and the Supreme Court, and forever will be a stain on our state and on our electoral processes. It'll be interesting to see what sorts out for Voss in the write-in campaign, won't it?
Yes, it will.
Stay tuned. May not
Adam
be over
Steen.
Yet, right?
I believe his name is Adam Steen doing the write-in.
I got it.
Yes,
Maggie. Let's not lose track of Gableman. Gableman apparently is now working for the Thomas More Society. You know, they're sort of a righty law firm along the lines of Will, with
Will
maybe slightly less, you know, legal integrity, let's just say. I mean, if there's a slot right below Will, that's probably the Thomas More Society. But Gableman, should this man be able to practice law? I mean,
no,
realistically,
he should be disbarred. I mean, there's no question. Frankly, almost every single lawyer that filed any of the lawsuits should all be disbarred because they made knowing factual misrepresentations to the court. On other than a death penalty criminal case, I can't imagine anything more serious than lying about election fraud.
Explain that concept. I mean, Dom and I, this guy should be disbarred. That guy should be disbarred. It sounds hyperbolic when we say it. But Maggie, you're specifically talking about their actions as lawyers are outside of compliance with their profession, right?
Yeah. So the fundamental, I would say, three rules that you learn as a baby lawyer or when you take ethics courses for lawyers. And by the way, we're all required to pass basically it is a uniform national ethics test that is separate from a bar exam. Okay. They literally have a standalone test on lawyer ethics. Lawyer ethics get very complicated, but the three things that most lawyers can recite off the top of their head is don't take your client's money, don't sleep with your client. And then the third biggie, like top three things, right, is don't lie to the court. Don't misrepresent facts. Don't misrepresent the law. The filing this past Monday by Trump's lawyers seeking a special master, riddled with lies, both about the law and about the facts. Those are instances that are not just sanctionable conduct, but the number, the seriousness And the stakes really do speak to whether or not someone should be disbarred. You cannot attribute any of these things in any of the election cases or the genius squad of lawyers that filed it for the special master. You cannot attribute that to being a bad lawyer, right? You simply can't. There's just too many factual misrepresentations. And of course, if you look at those factors, how many, the seriousness, those sorts of factors, it couldn't be more serious. Like what, literally as serious as a heart attack. They need to go. We swear an oath. They violate that oath almost every day.
Would incompetence be a better defense at this point?
It's funny, right? Because that's the Sidney Powell defense to the Dominion lawsuits, right? It's like, oh, everybody knows that was just hyperbole. There's actually no Kraken, right? Like, and there's a point at which that might have flown. But again, the frequency of the lie, the fact that they perpetuated the lie publicly, and then they wrote it in legal documents, right? In filings before a court to which we owe and swear on a Bible a duty of candor, which means get it right or don't say it. If you don't know if it's true, you better make damn sure that you tell the court that you don't know if it's true. And if you say that the case law says XYZ, it had better actually say that. And when you lie to a court repeatedly about the most serious matter affecting our democracy, you don't have the right to be a lawyer anymore. They absolutely should be disbarred. I'll share this with you. I was just talking to a colleague yesterday. He's complaining because a nut job wackadoodle client filed a complaint against him with the Office of Lawyer Regulation here in Wisconsin. And I said, oh, take heart, dear friend, particularly since I got into this very much more public role with Milwaukee County. I've probably had a dozen of them. And they are filed against me, right? These happen quite frequently. Clients, often when you're involved in litigation, these sorts of things are under incredible strain. They don't understand the legal process. And so they'll attribute malfeasance to a lawyer simply because they don't like the outcome. And sometimes clients are seriously mentally disturbed. And the OLR takes these investigations incredibly seriously. Every time one is filed, I get a request from the OLR. Do you want to respond? Do you want to do an oral interview? All of these kinds of things, no matter how ridiculous, right? Literally, I've had complaints filed by people I have never met because they just don't understand what government lawyers do, right? And I respond to those. Where are the investigations of these people? I'm befuddled. I'm confused. This man has no right to practice law anymore. He has given up that privilege. It is not a right. It is a privilege to practice law. And it is sort of one of the last bastions where, at least I thought at the onset of the Trump administration, there would be lawyers that might push the envelope a little bit. There's no envelope here, folks. Like, I don't even know where we are. It's like landing on planet Mars where you just invent things. If this is the practice of law, and I admit lawyers are not always held in the highest esteem, we're screwed. Lawyers are supposed to, again, the duty of candor. We swear an oath on a Bible to the Constitution of the United States and to our state constitutions in which we receive the privilege of practicing law, that we will tell the court the truth. When we sign our names to legal documents, these people are liars and they're eroding our democracy every day. If I can use a quick example.
Sure.
The filing on Monday.
Edify us.
For the special master.
Yes.
I mean, this is my favorite thing. First of all, there's very little legal citation in it. It's basically a political document. Like, it's a media sort of press release almost. It says things like, Donald J. Trump is the clear front runner in the 2024 presidential primary. Yes, so what? Maybe. I don't care. It has nothing to do with this. But they cite the Nixon case twice in the brief. First of all, they cite to a specific page that doesn't actually exist in the case, which I find hilarious. And the statement that they cited for is this: the Supreme Court has held that documents reflecting communications between a president and top advisors are presumptively privileged. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But the Nixon case was about when does the privilege stop? And the Nixon case concluded when there's a criminal investigation. Like, they conveniently leave that part out, right? And that's what this entire subpoena and search warrant was all about. And I have not quite got through the 38 pages of the affidavit yet. I've got it in front of me. But, you know, like I got to the first paragraph, paragraph 39, that says what we all knew the case to be. The National Archives on May 6, 2021, made a request for the missing PRA records, Presidential Records Act. PRA records had continued to make requests until approximately late December 2021, when the National Archives were informed 12 boxes were found and ready for retrieval at the premises. It goes on, right? And what they end up saying is basically, we've been asking for this stuff since the man left office. He's been giving it to us, sort of, and then basically told us to go kick rocks. So our only option was to show up at his house and take the stuff back. If this is an insanity, and what these lawyers did in the special master pleading, I mean, I could spend an hour and a half talking about why it's procedurally infirm, because you don't just go around the magistrate judge and go to a different judge and ask.
Well,
they're liars. They're liars that misrepresent the law.
And I think that's ultimately Maggie Dawn, Milwaukee County Corporate Counsel. This is what you get when you have lawyers that do this kind of thing for propaganda, for promotion, not for legal reasons, right? And as you mentioned, those folks are still practicing law. Well, they got away with it. And this is exactly how Trump does it. This is not a legal filing. This is a PR memo. This is for him to go out and grift and raise some money. But was this even filed in the proper court?
No, it's just, you look at, okay, so here's the
court of public opinion
in the criminal case, right? And it has the correct criminal case number on it. It's the Southern District of Florida. So the request for the special master, yes, they got the Southern District of Florida right, but they had them create a new case number. And of course, the interesting thing is that they know the right case, because on page 4 and 6 and, you know, 12, they put the criminal case number. There are magistrate judges that handle these matters for a reason, and the entire federal court system will blow up if this sort of workaround is permitted. We will not be able to have cases proceed efficiently or effectively in our federal court system. So, as you point out, procedurally completely infirm, but the real problem is, even if you got that right, you just light this pile of horse manure on fire, because that's what it is.
She is Maggie Dawn, Milwaukee County Corporate Counsel. She is our special master. She'll come back. More Devil's Advocates, the Friday edition. You're listening right now.
...60% of the time, they're right every time. The Devil's Advocates.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Be sure to check us out on the socials, on Twitter at Devil Radio. Of course, on Facebook at The Devil's Advocates Radio. Join us on the phones at 844-967-2789.
And Dominic, we've got a very special guest. She is award-winning talk show host, Milwaukee County Corporate Counsel, Maggie Dawn. I wish she still did a talk show around here. But always appreciate you coming around, Maggie. And, you know, sometimes I just think we should defer to the experts. What is the glaring, breakingest legal story of the week, if you will, Maggie?
Yeah, it's what happened in the last hour. Again, just during break, I continue to read through the released affidavit, the majority of which is, in fact, redacted. The paragraphs that aren't tell us basically everything we need to know. There's the one that I just referenced that basically said the archives had been asking for these materials for quite some time. It goes on, and then it brings us a little bit more up to date about the 15 boxes that Donald J. Trump actually did turn over to the archives. In May, FBI agents conducted a, quote, preliminary review of the 15 boxes provided to the National Archives. And here's what was in them: 184 unique documents bearing classification markings, including 67 documents marked confidential, 92 documents marked as secret, 25 documents marked as top secret. Further, the FBI agents observed markings reflecting the following compartmentalization, right? Which, when you have compartmentalized information, it means it's highly sensitive national security information that only a certain set of people can see. And effectively, it's referring to firewalls that are established in the government so that people don't end up seeing things that they shouldn't. And these various dissemination controls, I don't need to be a foreign policy or security expert to think some of these things sound a little scary. HCS, FISA. Wonder what that's about, like foreign intelligence, security,
we've heard that before.
ORCON and NOFORN, like whatever that is, it scares the bejiggers out of me. I don't want it sitting around in our former president's, you know, storage area at their resort with people wandering around.
Maggie.
They go on. Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
I'm dying to ask you a question.
Yes,
I have been telling Tom, he's kind of blowing some of this stuff up. Although we don't know the entire contents of, you know, their classified documents. They're not sharing, but I have called these paperwork crimes. But here's the deal. Regardless of the type of crime it is, once you have executed that search warrant, and once you've seen the magistrate judge Reinhart and said, I got probable cause, predicated on what was seized, at least in what's being reported, Maggie, there kind of has to be indictments now, doesn't there? I mean, you can't pull up half and say, well, we got back the documents. All is forgiven.
So the one thing that came out within the last week and a half that I went, oh, holy cow, that's a big deal, was that the letter from a Trump lawyer to the National Archives and, I can't recall exactly, the DOJ that said, we've given you everything.
Yeah.
Right? Which means one of two things. The lawyer's lying and they all knew that a crime had been committed and like these lawyers are all part of a grand conspiracy. Or the president is lying and the former president has been covering it up. And that seems to be what all signals are pointing to. Here you go, paragraph 78 of the affidavit, as described above, evidence of the quote, subject offenses in all caps has been stored in multiple locations on premises, meaning Mar-a-Lago. Here's what happened. The former president of the United States stole national security secrets. That is what has happened. It is as if he is working for a foreign government. One could call him a traitor of the highest order. There is no conceivable, reasonable explanation for why a former president would steal national security secrets. Their classification status doesn't matter. And oh, by the way, there's no classification magic wand, like, oop, they're now like magically declassified. None of this matters. If it was ever a national secret, and if it is a governmental document, it is owned by the United States. And as soon as the man exits off office, he has no legal right to hold them. And in fact, retaining these documents is a very serious federal crime. This former president stole national security secrets. We can all hypothesize about what he would use them for. Putin seemed pretty helpful back in 2016. You know, the Clinton emails, that whole deal. I wonder what I could use to perhaps get old Vladdy to maybe help me out with 2024. But oh, wait, here's this box of really useful national security secrets. I wonder if Putin might be interested in those. I mean, right, we can wildly speculate, but the man has stolen national security secrets.
But he's got a legal opinion that claims he has the right to do this. The Judicial Watch's attorney Fitton gave the former president this legal opinion. Well, these are his documents, effectively. Now, does that give him a sense of plausible deniability? I mean, if my lawyer, well, I'm just saying, if my lawyer gives me legal advice and says, you've got the right to something, even if his legal advice is wrong, does that shield the client in any way?
No. So I have to explain this all the time to my clients in the government, right? Well, they don't like what you said, Maggie. I'll just go hire my own lawyer. I'm like, well, good luck with that, A. And B, you can find a lawyer to say almost anything. Obviously, right? Simply because a lawyer says it doesn't mean or absolve you or is a magic wand that gives you immunity, right? Dear Mike and Don, please see below as I say that it is unlikely that you would be convicted of murder if blah, 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 blah. Well, if you go ahead and do it, it's not a defense to the crime. We'll be like, yeah, I killed a guy, but see, my lawyer here on page 3 says that it's okay. Like, no, It's not how it works.
Damn. Are you sure that's not how it works? Because Dom and I have trial in October. We'll tell you about that off the air, Maggie Dunn. Come back with us. The finest guest. She's Milwaukee County Corporate Counsel, Maggie Dunn. She's a friend of ours. She used to do a Dawn of the Resistance right here. An award-winning talk show host. So, Maggie, putting you on the spot. You got like 10 seconds to answer. When's your new radio show going to start?
Listen, if it keeps up like this, the material writes itself. I wouldn't even have to do any prep. I just read the legal documents. So any day now, Mike, any day.
Well, that'd be like us, minus the reading of the legal documents. Come back. More Devil's Advocates. More Maggie Dunn.
The Devil's Advocates, never personal, only politics.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. It's the Friday edition. I got some problems.
You got some grievances, Cody?
Yeah, I might. We got some good guests today. Fine guest, great guest, excellent guest. That is not a grievance of mine. And she is stuck around. Maggie Dunn, Milwaukee County Corporate Counsel, friend of ours. Maggie, I got to, if you don't mind, got to ask you about some politics, counselor. I don't think I've seen you since the primary happened here in the great state of Wisconsin. First and foremost, let's talk about Tim Michaels. He has taken the position with 12% of Wisconsinites that abortion should be illegal in all cases, including in the cases of rape and incest. That's his stated position. And but beyond that, you know, he's, you know, after being shamed a little bit, he's all down for the Trump endorsement. He's still the Trump candidate. I think the Cap Times said yesterday, a vote for Tim Michelson is a vote for Donald Trump. I thought we'd move beyond Trump, but apparently not, sister.
Yeah. My favorite thing is when rich dudes run for office. No qualifications, no concept of how government works. Just a endorsement from the worst president in U.S. history, who now is perhaps a foreign agent, who knows, TBD. Yep, Michaels is really horrifying, isn't he? I mean, like, only a rich white dude would be able to make an argument that there should be no rape or incest exception. Like, that must be a really great place that you're in, that in your, that the people that you love never have to ever, ever, ever worry about that. That is a blissful state here on planet Earth, where you actually know people who have been raped and have been sexually abused by members of their family. Here on planet Earth, where life is messy and really terrible things happen to people. Yeah, us actual Earthlings, we don't have that privilege, Mr. Michaels, who inherited a business from his family. These aren't bootstrapped people, nor was Donald Trump. No wonder, birds of a feather and all that thing, right? I the repugnancy of that position is self-evident. I truly hope that no one in Mr. Michaels' family ever is raped or is the victim of incest. But my fear is that absent that, he will never gain the insight or the humility to understand that these are not his decisions to make. Respectfully, if you don't have a uterus, I suggest you butt the heck out of this argument. It is not a decision for you to make. Tupac Shakur got this right, right? 20 years ago, the man never went to college. Tim Michaels, all of the advantages in the world, you do not get to tell women what to do with their bodies. He is an absolute repulsive beast. And I hope that Evers runs on abortion. Please, can we for once have Democrats that run on abortion? Abortion is a human right. It is health care. Period. End of discussion. There is no other need to debate this. If you and your religion and your God need to make different decisions, that's between you and your God. But that is not for the U.S. government or a state government to decide. The man literally physically disgusts me. And again, so does Donald Trump. no wonder they're buddies. I mean, that's what he's going to run on, is the Trump endorsement. And I hope those suburban white women that handed Donald Trump our state in 2016 get wise and don't abrogate their own independent judgment to that of their Waukesha, Ozaukee, Walworth, and Collar County husbands. You have a brain, ladies, between your ears. I suggest you use it.
So I'm going to put you down for a maybe for the Michaels vote.
Yeah, I think that's the takeaway. Yeah, it's a fair summary.
Let's talk about the other big race. Obviously, the Democrats sort of galvanized around Mandela Barnes. And, you know, the incumbent U.S. Senator from Wisconsin, Ron Johnson's been something of a target around here for a while. But, Maggie, want to get your opinion. Now that we've got, you know, a head-to-head race, mano a mano, how do you think Mandela will do? Right now, he's up in the polling.
We shall see. I think it's going to be interesting to come how this all comes together. I want to see him on a debate stage. I really want to see how they handle that. Oh, and who are we talking about again? Oh, yeah, another old rich white guy who basically didn't earn his money. I think I'm detecting a theme here. Wisconsin deserves someone that actually understands middle class issues, who doesn't think that he should be telling women what to do with their bodies. We deserve someone who is as humble as Mandela. I love it when people, oh, well, the guy didn't pay his taxes and he had debt and blah, 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 blah. Yeah, he's a human being. He understands the issues that face the middle class better than Ron Johnson, Tim Michaels, Rebecca Clayfish, Robin Voss, and all the rest of them combined. This is what we need. We need a person who looks, feels, and does represent us. And I think a return to true Wisconsin values that is not blind allegiance to an orange idiot who is potentially one of the worst traitors our democracy has ever seen. That's what we deserve. I hope Mandela takes a debate stage. I hope Ron's hubris actually tells him he can beat him on a debate stage, because that's going to be fun. And let's see him go toe-to-toe. I think Mandela can take Ron to the cleaners. Oh, by the way, if any of Mandela's advisors are listening, I'll be looking for a chief of staff job right after that Senate election. I think it'd be pretty good. Economist, lawyer, good political sense. If you think of anybody that might fit that bill, just let Mandela's people know, will you?
Folks, she is economist, lawyer, award-winning talk show host, and most importantly, friend of the Devil's Advocate. She's Maggie Dawn. We appreciate you coming around, talking a little politics with us. While both Mandela, by about 7 points in the market polling over Ron Johnson, is ahead, and also Evers by a more modest margin, depending on, you know, whether you go by the numbers or by Tim Michaels' gut. But you know who's trailing in the third CD? And we're playing out there now. We now have outlets playing in the third CD here in the civic media lineup. Brad Paff is currently trailing Derek Van Orden. And depending on who's polling you believe, it's either, you know, outside the margin of error or like 7. That Paff trails the insurrectionist Derek Van Orden by. So, sister, what are we missing over there in the swingy third?
I think we got to, I don't know, put some IQ points in the water or something. Like, what are people thinking? Come on, this is like the insurrectionist oath keeper who's now going to likely become, potentially, the Secretary of State in Arizona. Like, hate liberals, go ahead, fine. Think what you want, be a conservative. But please try to use the little gray things between your ears again. Like, this is not okay. Someone who is an insurrectionist, who wants to dismantle our federal government, who believes in the wackadoo conspiracy theories, is not fit to serve. Find a different conservative. Hold your nose, get through electing Brad Paff, and then move on. Like, just get a better candidate. It's like who's the weirdo that's running against Voss? I mean, literally,
Adam
there
Steen.
Is no bottom. One of the interesting
Come on, I endorsed
that
Adam
make,
Steen.
And people will hate this, right? I'm sorry, Mike, go ahead, hon.
I said I endorsed Adam Steen. I encouraged our audience to cross over and vote for Adam Steen. And I encourage those in the Mount Pleasant area to do so again in the fall. And write in, Adam Steen.
Yeah, it's a little bit of strategy there, right? One of the more
interesting analogies, I feel it in my heart.
and it's a strained one, right? It is a strained analogy, and people are going to get their undies all in a twist about this, is that I love talking to conservatives who are big foreign policy hawks, because I'll take them down the rabbit hole, like, let's talk about how to fight terrorism, right? And one of the lines that you'll hear all the time from them is, we need to take, you know, take the battle to them. We are fighting an enemy that knows no rules. How do we abide by the Geneva Conventions when they'll kill women and children indiscriminately, use chemical weapons, yada, yada, yada? Does this sound like the contours of the GOP and Democrats right now? We fight according to rules. We respect the rule of law. Republicans don't. There's no lie that is too big to be told, no rule or law that cannot be broken. There is no bottom. There's no depth to their depravity. And I have always resisted this idea that Democrats should completely abandon our allegiance to the truth and facts and reality. We have to be able to defeat them through better argument, right? I am a little bit sick of taking a knife to a gunfight, but let's really dismantle these falsehoods. Let's show them the emperor has no clothes. This man is unfit to serve. Frankly, I think most of them probably need to get a little psychological evaluation, because they're nuts. You're either a sociopath, an idiot, or you are seriously psychologically disturbed, any one of the three, maybe door number four, all of the above. You cannot serve. You cannot be an elected representative. You are constitutionally unfit.
Folks, you are listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Maggie Dawn, Milwaukee County Corporate Counsel, friend of ours, joining us. Maggie, happy Friday. Thank you for doing so once again. Briefly back to the abortion issue, Roe v. Wade. If you look at some of the elections, a special election in New York, Democrat New York. Pat Ryans, yes, ran, you know, pro-abortion. There was Kansas had a state referendum, right? So these things seem to be, you know, becoming a practical, logical headwind for the GOP. And this is something that, you know, a lot of people probably predicted, and it seems like it might be coming to fruition right now. Meg, you want to get a couple of questions for you. One, what's your sense of that trend continuing? And two, what are men? What are your friends? What are we supposed to do? How should we represent our sisters and mothers and daughters in this abortion discussion?
Yeah, wow, that's a lot, right? I think at root is you must respect the autonomy of women, and that women will make the best decisions. There's no other ifs, ands, or buts about it. I mean, I could quote you chapter and verse about the studies that have been done that show that in countries that have greater laws that respect women's autonomy, specifically as it comes to reproductive rights, that guarantee access to contraceptions, free and safe abortion on demand, those countries have higher GDPs, higher GDP growth, greater overall health, lower infant mortality rates, higher life expectancies. I could go on and on. Facts don't matter to these people. And so I think to ask men, and I've had these discussions with many male friends of mine, please have the strength to speak up when you hear other men denigrating a woman's right to bodily autonomy. When you hear women being sexually harassed, stop it, say something, right? Like, we need you, we need allies to help drive this message home. Don't let your idiot knuckle dragger, cousin, uncle, friend spout off about what he does not know or understand. As I like to say, he who hath no uterus on this should shutteth the up, right? Like, that is the point. Please be with us as we try to win what is a fundamental healthcare access right.
1 minute left in this segment, Maggie. As these referendums and elections go through, is this becoming the issue? Is this going to help Democrats? Looks like, you know, registration for women in some of these states are far outpacing new registration for men. This is a great sign, yes?
Yes, and keep at it. Run on it. Make it the issue. Make it the only issue until we take back our state houses, our governor's mansions, and the federal government. The other issue we need to be running on just as heartily is voting rights. It is because of the erosion of voting rights and ridiculous gerrymandering that we have found ourselves in this position where women are now uniformly second-class citizens.
Maggie Dawn, our Biden guest, stick around. One last segment of the Devil's Advocates, perhaps your calls as well. 844-96-PARTY.
The Devil's Advocates. Never personal, only politics.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Happy Friday to us all, the last segment of the day. If you got something to say, give us a call at 844-967-2789.
Dominic, I'm very, very excited because high school football has kicked off, and it's kicking off on the show in about half an hour and all across the Civic Media Network. But we got a fine guest. She's sticking around. She is Maggie Dawn. An exceptional guest. She is our good friend and, of course, Milwaukee County Corporate Counsel. And Maggie, we got people that want a piece of you. Do you mind if we take some phone calls, Maggie?
Go for it.
All right. Well, we're going to load them up, starting with Joanne from Madison. Joanne, say hi to Maggie Dawn.
Hello, and please start your own talk show. You're fantastic. And I'm really energized, and I'm so energized, I'm thinking, hey, let's push toward child care. I remember a couple of years ago, those magic words started materializing at all these political forums, and all of a sudden it dropped out. Can we push that far? Can we get some real child care in this country? And thank you so much for taking my call.
Thank you for listening, Joanne.
Heck yes, Joanne. So good. Thank you for the kind words. I'll tell you this. Here's another tension point. You want to oppose abortion, but you won't support universal child care. You won't make child care affordable, and you won't guarantee health care for children. What are you even talking about? It's like the care for a child, as they would allege, for a fetus, for a baby, for a potential life, stops at the vaginal walls. Like, that's it? Now, somebody else's problem. My parents, who were very pro-life for many years, I'll never forget this moment. They had a pro-life bumper sticker on their car. By the way, they aren't anymore. I asked them why. Well, we figured out that we may not have the bat phone to God, and we should probably be a little bit humble about how we legislate religion in this country. But I digress. They came out of a restaurant. They had a pro-life bumper sticker on their car. Somebody had written on it, "Are you going to adopt the baby? And if not, will you pay for that child's every need until they are able and ready to enter the job and workforce?" And my dad looked at it and went, well, that's an actually good point, right? And it always should be, yes, Joanne, let's argue for child care as well.
Well said, Maggie Dawn, our fine guest. Your phone calls could be next, 844-967-2789. A patient, CJ, the good one from Beaver Dam. CJ, say hi to Maggie Dawn.
Hey, CJ.
Hi, Maggie Dawn. I'm waiting for your radio show as well.
Thank you, my friend.
The only things I'm going to do is make your toes curl up is NDI, is National Defense Information, also in that document. No foreign actually stands for no foreign nationals. That's not including Canadians or United Kingdom. No foreign nationals are able to see that document. So that's how detrimental, actually how high-priced these materials are.
And it is scary. Listen, CJ, last man that made my toe curl was a few minutes ago, so thank you for this Friday afternoon toe curl. Yeah, that's scary, isn't it? It scares the bejiggers out of you, doesn't it?
CJ, thanks for listening. Thanks for the toe curl.
But let's before, I know we have other callers, 844-967-2789. Megan, that's the point. I know, Crudy, we bust chops here. These are paper crimes. This is kind of a big deal. And these are, 700 pages to my last count and hundreds of documents. So I've seen, different numbers thrown around. But either way, it's unprecedented, not in just the fact that, the FBI raided him, the fact that he had these documents on his person in his closet.
100%, even if you take the absolute most benign interpretation, right, that, he's just, does anybody really doubt that Donald Trump is probably like a weird hoarder and has like leftover dishes like under his bed? I digress. But even the most benign interpretation, right, that he just mistakenly took these things, run this out. They asked him again, please go through your stuff. When the National Archives got the documents, it was like, super top secret, no four. And then, some pictures of like him and his daughter that he wants to date. I mean, all mixed in together, right?
Oh, no.
They keep asking for it. He doesn't produce it. What happens to this stuff? Like, if this is national security secret, well, okay, let's just call it declassified. It's still not his property. What happens if, a foreign government sends, these people called spies? And because that didn't happen before, right? Like, there weren't spies lurking around with Trump affiliates.
Spies?
Right?
We call them dues-paying members at Mar-a-Lago.
Oh, yes. That other category. And they're just walking around, rooting through stuff. I mean, that's the most benign. This is beyond the pale. Everyone should be extraordinarily frightened that this was permitted to happen. And it, again, here's a norm that this guy blew out of the water. And that the norm was that exiting presidents were effectively allowed and they were given support staff to help them do these things, right? To like transition out of the White House, it has to happen really quickly, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, here's another thing that we have to now legislate. You can't let former presidents do this. We have to have a special team come in and do it because you can't trust them to do this correctly anymore. It's absolute insanity. Again, there is no bottom.
Mark from the SAC, say hi to Bangy Dawn, a very patient Mark.
Hey, Mark.
No problem, guys, and thanks to my golden goddess again that I used to call in her program all the time. Maggie brought it up again. Even the most benign of those documents, Trump still should not have had. It was still a crime for him to remove them from the White House. I mean, I'm tired of this crap of him saying, the president can't be charged with the crime. Look at Bill Clinton. They were investigating Bill Clinton for activities outside of the White House, the whole White Wander thing, but they asked him questions about what he did in the White House, and of course they came up with Monica Lewinsky and charged him with, and impeached him over that. I mean,
but that was a crime of the flesh.
Mark, man, thank you. We got other callers holding, but thank you for bringing that up. And wasn't it such a quaint and innocent time in America back then? Thanks for the call. Maggie, let's get one more in. Dick from Madison, you will have the last word with Maggie Dawn.
Well, you know what their tact is now on this whole thing? Well, if this was so egregious, why didn't you do something sooner? Well, they tried to for months, and he kept stonewalling, but now they're actually going to go with that, from what I've heard. Well, if this was so horrible, why didn't you do something a long time ago? Well, I just don't get that one, but they're floating that one already.
It was a crime, but you just waited too long. There's no statute of limitations on being a traitor to the country, okay? They asked again, they asked really nicely, they asked firmly, they asked a different way, they had the archives asked than the DOJ asked. I mean, the guy wasn't cooperating, and as soon as it became abundantly clear that they were never going to get the stuff, that's when they went over and took it from him. It was a crime, but it was, they should have raided him.
They should have done it sooner?
It's insane. Right. Like, they'd have think the raid is a problem now, but it wouldn't be a problem before?
Amen.
What the hell? It makes no sense.
Maggie Dawn, open invitation anytime you want a radio show. It's your sister. Thank you to our fine earlier guest, James Santel. He's got a radio show. Now stick around. Native Roots Radio right up to Black Shirts Football. West Allis, hail the opponent.